Christ and how God had given them both forgiveness and how the resurrection had changed their life and so profoundly made a mark upon them. That's what I want to look at for just a few minutes here before we go back and enjoy a great time, a fellowship dinner. But if you found it in your spot in Matthew 28, you can say amen and I'll know you're there. Amen. Not hard to find. Matthew 28. The Bible says this: in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy did run to bring his disciples word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, I'm so thankful that you're alive. Lord, you're the risen Savior. You're the King of Kings, and one day you're coming back. And as we celebrate your resurrection on this Resurrection Sunday, may there not be anybody here that would not feel your presence. May there be anyone here that would not understand that you rose again the third day victoriously to forgive sin, to save souls, and to change lives. Father, bless the word, we pray now, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, you excited? I'm excited. Hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday will get you excited. And praise the Lord. But I want to preach on this thought: I serve a risen Savior. Think about this for a minute. The resurrection is the core of our Christian faith, is it not? When you think of the resurrection, if there's no resurrection, there's no Christ, and we believe the lie. It's just as simple as that. The resurrection is the foundation. It's the core of everything we believe. That's why when Paul writes his epistle to the Corinthians, he begins in chapter 15. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also have you received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, of which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the core of what we believe. And if that's not true, then we're in trouble this morning. Paul went on to say in verse 12, he said this: now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. But if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But then he said this: but now is Christ risen. Amen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. It's the core. It's the core. The resurrection is the core of our faith this morning. It's the crux of our hope. The crux of our hope. One time the Pharisees came to Jesus and they tried to trick him and ask him a trick question about what happens when people die. And in Mark chapter number 12, Jesus Christ said, hey, that God is not a God of the dead, but he's a God of the living. Amen. He's a God of the living. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. It's the crux of our hope. Hey, when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, because he's risen. It's the crux of our hope. It's the core of our faith. It's the cause of everything He did and everything we do. He's not in the grave. He arose victoriously. Now let me give you three simple little things here. Three little simple things. Can I say this morning? Thank God he's alive. He's alive. In our text, in Matthew chapter number 28, thank God Jesus Christ presented himself alive. Look in verse 9. It says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Hallelujah. He's alive. Can I say this morning? He's alive in spite of the soldiers. Amen? In spite of the fact that they sealed the stone, in spite of the fact that they were given great sum of money to lie. If you all read on down there in verse 11, it says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came to the city and showed the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the others, had taken counsel, they gave large sum of money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole away while we slept. And this has come to the governor's ears. We will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And the saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Can I say this morning? That none of those things could change the fact of the sudden glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away. Amen. And thank God I know that He's alive. How do you know that? Because of historical record. The Apostle Paul said he was seen of over 500 witnesses at one time. History says that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Can I give you this one? Because of the hatred of the world. If Jesus Christ is a big lie and it's a fairy tale, why does everyone hate Him so much? Amen? I mean, people don't hate Allah. They don't hate Muhammad. They don't hate the Hindus and the Buddhists and every godforsaken thing out. They don't hate Joe Smith and they don't hate Mary Baker Eddy. They don't hate the founders of all the cults. Why is the name of Jesus Christ so hated? Because He's alive. Because He's alive, and one day you're going to stand in front of Him. Amen. And boy, there is something about that name, the name of Jesus Christ, that brings up the hatred of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me tell you, what do you do when things are a lie? You dismiss them. You don't give them the time of day. But Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. And history says He's alive. The hatred of the world says He's alive. Can I give you this one? Because He lives in my heart. Amen. Now, everyone in this world can say He's not alive. But I'll tell you, He's alive because He's alive inside of me. December 15th, 1979, I was born again into the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ came to live in my heart. I tasted of that living water that we sang about this morning. And I'll tell you, my life was changed forever. I went from a heathen hating God to become a child of God who loves Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, that happened in a matter of seconds when I believed on Him. And I can tell you, just as Peter, James, and John, 11, hey, what He did for them is what He did for me, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's alive in my heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even feel God's presence. You don't even feel nothing in your heart. That's because you're not born again child of God. But if you ever get Jesus Christ on the inside, let me think, everything will begin to change on the outside. Amen. And thank God He's alive this morning. Thank God He's able to save. I love that story of the woman at the well in John 4. You think about that, of what she was, an undeserving harlot, a sinner, a Samaritan. And one meeting with Jesus was all it took. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You read there in John chapter 4, after meeting Jesus Christ, the Bible says, she said, "Come see a man that told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Thank God He's able to save. Thank God He's able to save the worst of sinners. You say, who cannot God not save? Well, those self-righteous people who think they're okay and don't need Jesus Christ. It's hard to save that bunch. The Bible says that Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Let me tell you, Christ can only save sinners, and if you're not a sinner, you can't be saved. Isn't that a simple thing? Only sinners can be saved. And the fact of the matter is, there's not anyone in this room who's breathing who's not a sinner. That Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And that's why Christ died, for all the world to be saved. He died for God so loved the world. Hey, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here this morning and you're breathing, you're a candidate for salvation. Now, if you're in the grave, it's a little too late for you, right? That's right. The moment you close your eyes in death, you're either in heaven or you're in hell. You're in one or the other. But as long as you're alive, there's still hope for you. So there's hope for everyone in this room. People say, well, if I walked in the church would fall down. No, it wouldn't. You say, you don't know how bad I am. It doesn't matter how bad you are because of how good Jesus Christ is. Amen. And no matter how dark and deep your sin is, the blood of Jesus Christ goes deeper and can cleanse all sin. Thank God He can. He's able to save this morning. Thank God He's able to save. Thank God He's alive. How about this one? Thank God he's available when I need him. You say, "Is God?" I know he's alive because when I call, he picks up the phone. Amen. You know, I've never called out the God that he put me on hold or that he blew me off or told me to come back later. That Bible says, "Therefore, let us come boldly on the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not." Well, you say, "Brother Chris, does that mean God answers all your prayers?" He sure does. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. No is an answer. I said, "God, can I have that?" He says, "No, you can't have it." You know, it's like the grandkids, Lucy and Liam and Caleb and Chloe. "Paul, Paul, can I have that?" "No." "Can 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 I have that?" "Yeah, you can have that." I answer them every time. The answer's not always yes. Sometimes the answer's no. They say, "Paul, Paul, hey, I want to go to Disney World." "Not this year, next year." Sometimes you got to wait a while, right? You don't get everything you want when you want it, but that is an answer. Wait a while is an answer. These teen kids, "Hey, when can I drive? When can I go on a date? When can I do this? When can I do that?" I'll tell you when you can go. That's an answer. I'd hate to be a Muslim. They never hear from God. I'd hate to be a Hindu. They never hear from God. I'd hate to be... You say, "How do you know they don't hear from God?" Read their testimonies. Listen to what they say themselves. Read their holy books. Let me tell you, Christianity is what's different from everybody else because God's alive and speaks to us. He rose from the grave. I don't have to go to some holy place to get a hold of God. I don't have to go to Mecca. I don't have to go to the shrines of India. I don't have to go to these different places. You know where I got to go? To my knees. And suddenly, immediately, I'm in the presence of God. Thank God He's available. Thank God He's able to save. Thank God He's alive. How about this one? And this is the last one. He's abundantly, thank God He's abundantly blessed my life. You say, why? Because He lives. My family's been blessed. My finances have been blessed. My friends have been, my future's been blessed. I can tell you I'm a satisfied customer. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I've been saved for 35, 36 years now. And I can tell you, I am so thank God for the day that I bowed my heart and my head and asked Christ to come into the inside. I was 17 years old then, I'm 52 years old now, and I can tell you, I have never been dissatisfied with Jesus Christ. I feel sorry for that person that doesn't know the risen Savior. I'm glad I can say as a songwriter, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." I know I'm going to heaven. And Jesus Himself is coming for me. You ever read the testimonies of the dying? Where they said, "I see Jesus. I see Jesus." You talk about the love of Almighty God. With 7 billion people upon the planet, and God still has time to come to His child who's closing his eyes in death. Oh, if you're not a child of God this morning, I feel sorry for you. You know what I say? Come drink from the well. Come drink from the well. Hey, that well of everlasting life that springs up to all who receive it. Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. For the water that I shall give him shall be him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I got a drink of that water some 35 years ago. Oh, I tell you, I've been satisfied ever since then. Because thank God He's alive this morning. He's alive. He's able to save. Thank God He's available when I need Him. Thank God He's blessed me in every way. What about you this morning? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you have a clue what I'm talking about? If you're here today without Jesus Christ, let me tell you, God will take all your sin and all those things that are contrary and all those things that are against God, and God will wipe them away. God will wash them away. And God will make a new person out of you, just like He did for the woman at the well. Just like He did for the woman at the well. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Stand for